We are reading this morning from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 42, entitled The Breaking of the Bow, text number 1. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Shukdev Goswami said, as he walked down the king's road, Lord Madhava then saw a young hunchbacked woman with an attractive face, who carried a tray of fragrant ointments as she walked along. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows. Purport: according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the young hunchbacked girl was actually a partial expansion of the Lord's wife Satyabhama. Satyabhama is the Lord's internal energy known as Bhushakti, and this expansion of hers, known as Prithivi, represents the earth, which was bent down by the great burden of countless wicked rulers. Lord Krishna descended to remove these wicked rulers, and thus his pastime of straightening out the hunchback Trivakra, as explained in this verses, represents his rectifying the burdened condition of the earth. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Hitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. At the same time, the Lord awarded Trivakra a conjugal relationship with Himself. In addition to the given meaning, the word Rasapradaha indicates that the Lord amused His cowherd boyfriends by His dealings with the young hunchback. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripa tamaham vande Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyayvacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, beginning today and tomorrow's talk, we will discuss from this beautiful chapter and the pastime of Lord Krishna's interactions with the hunchbacked lady Kubja. This is a very interesting part of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, these particular chapters, last 2-3 chapters before 42, where Lord Krishna is entering into a different phase of his manifest pastimes on planet Earth. For about 11 years, approximately 11 years, 8 months, some say 7, some say 9, approximately over 11 years, Lord Krishna spent his time in Vrindavan. And beginning here, this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, now Lord Krishna leaves Vrindavan to enter into a different phase of his life, which is the Mathura and Dwarka phase of his manifest pastimes, where Lord Krishna now moves out of his pleasure pastimes to his mission pastimes. Vrindavan is home for Krishna. And therefore in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is having a great time, fun, frolic, you know, incredible relationships with the residents of Vrindavan. Having a great time with his parents, Nanda and Yashoda. Having a great time with his boyfriend, Sudama, Shridama, Stoka Krishna, Madhu Mangal. Having a great time with the gopis of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani. Vrindavan has been a great time. And there were some few disturbances here, a little bit here and there. Putana, Trinavarta, Baka. They were little. You know, to us they seem big. But to Krishna, they were all very little disturbances. And even killing Putana and Trinavarta and Bakasura and lifting the Govardhan Hill and all of that still was a lot of pleasure because it was home. Vrindavan was home. And being at home was a great act of pleasure. Now, acts of sacrifice. Leaving behind Nanda, leaving behind Yashoda, leaving behind Stoka Krishna, Sudama, Sridama, Madhumangal, leaving behind Champaklata, leaving behind Indulekha, leaving behind Rangadevi, leaving behind Rupa Manjari, leaving behind Kasturi Manjari, leaving behind Labanga Manjari, leaving behind Chitra Sakhi, and leaving behind of all personalities Srimati Radharani, and entering into Mathura now to begin the missionary phase of his manifest pastimes. Therefore, in the material world, somehow everyone is so driven by rights that people forget their responsibilities. And all conflict begins when one wants rights without wanting to take responsibilities. In family life, all conflict comes when the husband or the wife wants rights but does not want to take responsibilities. All conflicts between parents and children begins when parents are or children are either or, they want their rights but they don't want to fulfill their responsibilities. All conflicts within devotees begin when devotees want their rights but they don't want to take care of their responsibilities. The sole cause of conflict, I shouldn't say sole cause, but one of the primary causes of conflict is when people want to go by their rights and they don't want to take responsibilities. Vrindavan life was life of rights. Stealing butter, asking for pardon, all rights said and done. Now was a life of responsibility. Leaving the pleasure life behind to take on a life of responsibility, a life of mission. You know? And therefore it's quite interesting. Krishna is moving into this phase. And generally speaking, no one likes to take responsibilities. Rights are always invited, but the responsibilities, God, not so much invited. And like I always say, you know, we have two brains, two parts of the brain. In the left side of the brain, nothing is right. And in the right side of the brain, nothing is left. You know, sometimes people say like that, in the left side of the brain, nothing is right, in the right side of the brain, nothing is left. And when nothing is right and nothing is left, then rights become this whole thing of life without wanting responsibilities. And we have all seen, people have to move on. Children have a good time in school, a lot of fun. They have to move on, get married, or join the Brahmachari ashram. Whichever way, I'm not suggesting either or. You know, some of the parents are looking at me, what are you suggesting to our children? No, I'm not suggesting either or. Either or, Brahmachari ashram, life of responsibility. Grihastha ashram, life of responsibility. School life, bachelor life, fun life, have a great time, friends, hang out. Wow, that's what Krishna did, isn't it, Vrindavan? Had a great time, you know, great time. But then life has to move on, taking responsibility. School, college life ends. One time one mother was waking up her son and telling the son, come on, wake up, you have to go to school. And the son was quite annoyed that the mother was waking him up to go to school. So then the son was asking the mother, you know, why are you asking me to go to school? Mother said, of course you have to go to school. So finally the mother said to the son, you give me at least two reasons why you don't want to go to school. So the son said the two reasons are, first is because all the teachers hate me. And second is because all the students hate me. There's no one who likes me there. When I go to school, the teachers hate me, the students hate me, so I don't want to go to school. You know, so then he looked at the mother and said, now you give me two reasons why I should go to school. The mother said, first, because you're 52 years old. And second, because you happen to be the principal of the school. You know, where all the teachers hate you and all the students hate you. Well, the fact of the matter is, fun and frolic ends, work life begins, married life begins. Some people say marriage is the day when the man loses his bachelor degree and the lady gets her master's, you know, or either or, whichever way, the husband gets, lady gets, whichever, decide whatever way you want it. But the fact of the matter is, responsible life begins. Fun and frolic is over, you know. Responsibility is the sign of life. Irresponsible people can never be happy. Even if they somehow or the other grab their rights, irresponsible people can never feel a sense of contentment and satisfaction in their lives. Krishna moves on. 11 years in Vrindavan. And how many years did Krishna live on planet Earth in his manifest pastimes? 125. Out of the 125 years, 11 years of fun and frolic and 114 years of responsibility. Quite amazing. Just about 11 years at home with all the Vrindavan residents and 114 years of killing of Kalayavan, killing of Kamsa, killing of Jarasandha, establishing governance, speaking the Bhagavad Gita, Battle of Hastinapur. My God. Too much, you know. And therefore, it's quite amazing how life is a balance between fun and responsibility. You know, any extreme is dangerous. In devotee life also, any extreme is dangerous. Just fun and leading a happy life without responsibility is reckless life. And just leading a life of responsibility without being happy is reckless life. But to have a good balance between having a great time with devotees, which is Vrindavan life. If we do not have a great time together, if we don't dance in kirtans, if we don't relish prasad, if we don't have congenial relationships with each other, what's the fun in Krishna consciousness? And if we just keep living at our home, in our own temples, within our own shells, within our own sanghas, and if we don't take responsibility in the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness, what is the meaning to life? And therefore, life, devotee life, has to be a great balance between pleasurable activities and responsible activities. And what is the pleasurable activities? The like-to-dos. How many like to eat prasad? I don't think anyone would say no to that. How many would like to participate in the kirtans of His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Bringa Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Bringa Govind Maharaj, His Grace Madhav Prabhu? How many would like to sit in the kirtans? Participate and dance in kirtans? Well, all of us would love to dance in kirtans. How many of us would just like to hang out with friends, devotee friends, and reminisce the good old days? All of us would. These are the like-to-dos in Krishna consciousness. And the like-to-do activities in Krishna consciousness bring tremendous pleasure. But along with the like-to-do activities of Krishna consciousness also are the have-to-do activities of Krishna consciousness. Like-to-do brings inspiration and have-to-do brings purification. Have-to-do is not sometimes what we like to do. How many like to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra? You know? Sometimes we pull out the beads and we see where is it reaching, you know. We are wanting when the last bead will come. Definitely not a like-to-do activity. 16 rounds is just a have-to-do activity. It brings purification. How many like to go out in the cold winters, frigid winters, distributing books? God, have-to-do activities. How many like to do management in organization? Such a headache sometimes management in organization can be. The have-to-do activities of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, devotee life is a balance between the like-to and the have-to-do activities. Krishna likes to be in Vrindavan, but has to leave for Mathura. Loves to be in Vrindavan. Who wouldn't like to be with Nanda and Yashoda? Why would Krishna not want to be with Srimati Radharani? Loves to do that, but has to leave. Similarly, all of us love to do what we have to do, like to do, but we also have to take up those things which is not essentially we would want to and like to do those kind of activities. Srila Prabhupada also in Vrindavan, like in Vrindavan, having such a great time in the holy dham of Vrindavan, but left Vrindavan for the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness. Just like Krishna, just like Akrura took Krishna and Balaram away from Vrindavan to go to Mathura for the missionary activities, similarly, Srila Prabhupada left the comfort, the luxury, the incredible spiritual atmosphere of Sridham Vrindavan to leave for the Western world for the have-to-do activities, the missionary activities of preaching Krishna consciousness, you know. And therefore, Lord Krishna, when he gives the process of bhakti, Lord Krishna is the manufacturing unit where bhakti is manufactured. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the marketing unit. You know, Lord Krishna and the process of bhakti given in Gita is the manufacturing unit. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the marketing god, where he is engaging in missionary activities of spreading Krishna consciousness and giving Krishna consciousness all over the world. You know, Srila Prabhupada, like Krishna, left Vrindavan. Left Vrindavan to enter not into Mathura, not into Dwarka, to enter into the Western world, to preach Krishna consciousness, to share Krishna with others. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada was constantly on a move, to take care of the mission of preaching Krishna consciousness. One devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I would like to be situated as a dust particle at your lotus feet eternally. Srila Prabhupada said, that is not possible. So Prabhupada, why? I want to be just situated as a dust particle at your lotus. Prabhupada said, that is not possible. And when the devotee asked why again, Prabhupada said, because my lotus feet are constantly moving. How can you remain as a dust particle at my feet when my feet are constantly moving? And actually Srila Prabhupada was constantly on a move. So there is missionary activities of preaching for all of us, assisting Srila Prabhupada. But there is also another activity, which is dealing with the mission inside. Dealing with the mission outside and dealing with the mission inside. Mission outside is assisting Srila Prabhupada in bringing Krishna to the world. And mission inside is trying to deal with the demons internally. Like Lord Krishna sets on a mission to give bhakti to others, but also to kill the demons. Like Jarasandha, like Kamsa, like Kalayavan. So every sadhaka has two missions. And sometimes our pleasure brings an intermission in our mission. You know, every sadhaka has two missions. The first mission is the external mission of sharing Krishna. And the second mission is an internal mission of killing the demons, exactly like Krishna. The first mission is bringing bhakti to different devotees outside of Vrindavan. And the second mission is killing of the demons like Kalayavan, Jarasandha and other outside of Vrindavan. And therefore a sadhaka's task is twofold. Bringing Krishna to others and trying to deal with the internal demons. And therefore, there has to be a balance of happiness and seriousness. We have to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but serious about the mission of killing the demons within. Sometimes when we get too introspective and too serious, we lose the fun of Krishna consciousness. You know when all the anarthas come up? My God, it's very dangerous. All these nasty things, when we see them, it's too much. Then the devotees, when they come for the temple aarti in the morning, I used to love standing next to one man in our temple because he would sing the Govindam prayers in a very unique way. He would sing, Govindam Adipurusham Paramatma Shanti. So I would hear him every, he would only Sunday to Sunday he would come. So I would stand next to him because people most times don't get the words right, you know. So he would sing Govindam Adipurusham Paramatma Shanti. But we have one brahmachari who does, he knows the prayers. But when he comes for every morning for the prayers, he sings a whole different song. I don't know why, but he sings this. He sings Govindam Adipurusham Samahau Bachao Me. Govindam Adipurusham Samahau Bachao Me. Bachao Me, Bachao in Hindi, save me. So somehow save me. You know, every morning he comes in front of Radha Gopinath in the temple and I say, somehow Bachao Me. And I'll tell you, I've been hearing him for years now. He doesn't sing the regular prayers. This is the prayer he chants every morning. You know. So when we introspect a lot and see these demons internally, all we have is to do and say, Krishna, please somehow bachao me. Save me all these demons. But believe me, too much introspection sometimes brings guilt. Unnecessary introspection. We should be introspective to see the demons internally. That's our mission. But too much introspection on the unwanted things in the heart, anarthas, brings a feeling of guilt, and guilt is good. Guilt is good. What is the definition of guilt? Guilt means the gap between reality and idealism. What is idealism? I want to have a lust-free heart. What is reality? I see there is a lot of lust still lurking. What is the gap between the two? I feel guilty. I was talking to a gentleman in my travels, and the gentleman is a married man with two wonderful kids, and this gentleman is coming and crying in front of me. I said, what happened? Nice devotee, good wife, beautiful, nice children, and is crying. He doesn't live, his wife and children don't live in the city where he lives. Of course, he's living overseas for his work. He started saying, I chant 16 rounds. 5 years I've been chanting 16 rounds. I'm aspiring initiation. There's only one problem. I said, what's the problem? Started talking about, you know, things like onion garlic, cooking is not easy, this, that. I said, that's a small thing. Don't worry, it'll be all worked out. No, but I now have stopped eating onion and garlic. I don't eat onion garlic any longer. So what? Said, I have a maid servant living in my house. So the maid servant's living in my house, and she's cooking for me, and she comes home and goes away. So I told, why do you have to come and go? You stay with me. And it's just me and the maid servant. Now, recently in my travels, I heard the story. He's coming and crying in front of me, you know, saying, now it's just me and the maid servant. I said, what about your wife? Does she know this? He said, he knows that I have a maid servant. Said, does she know that the maid servant is living with you in the house? No. I said, what are you doing? She's a wonderful devotee. Both of your kids are wonderful. Why are you doing this? And then he started crying and telling me, Prabhuji, I don't know. I'm just feeling so guilty of all of these things. Guilt is good if it leads to the right decisions. If guilt just kills us, sometimes introspection of what we are inside, our envy, our lust, our greed, our illusions, our ego, our pride, sometimes introspection of how bad we are puts us into that trap of guilt because we see the distance between reality and idealism. Idealism means I shouldn't feel envy towards a devotee. And reality is when I see a devotee perform better than me, I feel envy. And that brings in guilt. And I kill myself. I shouldn't be feeling like this. And the bliss of Krishna consciousness is gone. Are we here to become miserable? Have we joined the Hare Krishna movement to become miserable wrecks? Have we come to the path of Krishna consciousness to just pressurize our minds and completely be miserable in our practice of devotional service? I don't think so. We didn't come to the path of Krishna consciousness to be miserable. Krishna in the Gita is saying this path is joyfully performed. Susukham kartum avyayam. And our acharyas have said that Lord Chaitanya has come to give us a process which is kevala anandakanda. And sometimes getting into the trap of guilt kills us. Guilt in the right amount is that factor that helps us improve. But too much guilt is the mode of ignorance. Tamasic. It is nothing but another way of Maya to discourage us from improving. If guilt helps improve, it is sattvic. If guilt just kills us, that is tamasic. And therefore, introspection internally can lead to a lot of guilt. Therefore, we have to be serious about introspection, but simultaneously also be happy. Not just be introspective all the time. We have to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Being with devotees is happiness. Making wonderful friends in Krishna consciousness is happiness. Their support is happiness. Chanting in kirtan, hearing Krishna katha, reading Prabhupada's books, focusing on Krishna, it gives joy. Therefore, what is a devotee supposed to be? Happy and serious. Simply being serious takes away the happiness. Simply being happy doesn't make us serious. There are some people who are the happy-go-luckies, you know. Hari Bho, Jai Jagannath, Hari Bho. Mahaprasad Govindai, Nam Brahmani Vaishnavi, Hari Bho, Mahaprasad Ki Jai. The happy-go-lucky Hare Krishnas. They never do introspection, they never work on their sadhana. When? Tomorrow. When? Tomorrow. Snooze the alarm, postpone. Tomorrow. The happy-go-luckies, Hare Krishnas. And then there are the other constipated Hare Krishnas. Who are just so serious that how... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Bhakti is a miserable path for them. Any extreme is dangerous. Being happy-go-lucky without introspection will never help us improve. And simply being introspective without tasting the bliss of Krishna consciousness will make us nervous wrecks. And thus, a combination of being happy while being serious is very, very important on the path of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna's entry into Mathura is teaching us this essential principle. And we will see now when Krishna enters Mathura, how there is a serious mission, killing of Kamsa. But that serious mission is done in a fantastic, happy, joyful way. We have a serious mission of killing the Anarthas within. But that serious mission of killing the Anarthas within has to be done in a joyful way. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, my God, Srila Prabhupada was incredible. He was so funny. There were serious things at hand. There were serious things at hand. The Juhu issue was going on. His health was failing. So many issues with devotees, disciples, people, management. Yet, joyful, funny, he never ever lost the fun side of his personality. And you know, my God, kind of stories he told, funny, laughing, making people laugh, never lost the blissful side of bhakti while dealing with the serious issues. You know, joyfully dealing with serious problems. And Prabhupada said, very, very funny story he's telling all the devotees. You must hear, it's on record. And Prabhupada said, so, there was this one man, Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji ki jai. And Prabhupada said, so there was this one man, and this man, he, in India, he wanted to go to attend the nature's call. And Prabhupada said, he wanted to go to attend nature's call. And he said, but in India, they don't have latrines, Prabhupada is saying. And he said, they used to go in the fields, and they would carry a lota in their hand. And then Prabhupada said, so he went, and he did what he wanted to do. You hear, it's very funny. Prabhupada is speaking the story. It's on record. And then Prabhupada said, so he did what he wanted to do. And after looking at the staff, he said, you nasty staff. What is this? I am so beautiful. Look what is nasty thing coming out of me. I can't believe this is me coming from me. And then Prabhupada says, and then that little staff spoke to the man. And Prabhupada said, and that little stuff spoke to the man and said, last night I was a hot samosa. And look what your association has done to me. And then Prabhupada said, and therefore, association is very important. You have to choose. Choose your association carefully. And I'm thinking, look at Srila Prabhupada, you know, elderly person, suffering sickness, so many problems are going on. And he's making a very serious point about association, good association, bad association. And he is so funny. Prabhupada never lost a smile. He would be angry sometimes, frown sometimes, make things right, but never lost a smile on his face, you know. And therefore, these two missions have to be carried out very well. The mission outside of assisting Srila Prabhupada in bringing Krishna to others, and the mission inside of killing the demons within Kalayavan and Kamsa and all the other unwanted anarthas of our heart, happy and serious. Any extreme will never bring satisfaction. Happy go lucky, no good, no improvement. Just serious, miserable. Happy and serious is the combination. And when Krishna enters into Mathura to kill all these demons, he reveals this incredible nature of doing serious things while being extremely jovial, funny, joyful and happy. And therefore, Akrura brings Krishna and Balaram out of Vrindavan, and they reach the outskirts of Mathura in the evening. Akrura invites Krishna and Balaram. My dear lords, we are in Mathura already. Why don't you come and spend tonight with me? Tomorrow you can go, and Kamsa has invited you for this wrestling match in the wrestling arena. Your mission is to kill Kamsa. You can do it tomorrow. Come and stay with me. Krishna and Balaram say, no, no. All the cowherd boyfriends are also with them. They say, no, no, we won't come tonight. We'll come to you later. Krishna, Balaram and all the cowherd boyfriends, they stay together at the outskirts of Mathura. The next morning they get up. take their bath, dress up, and they enter into the city of Mathura for the first time. And when they enter into the city of Mathura, what is the first act they want to do? They want to explore the city. Like any young man with their backpacks, all of them with the map in their hand, all of them have come for the first time to the city of London. What do? Go out, explore the city. Tourism originates in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The origin of tourism is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna gives up home and gets to Mathura. First time after 11 years, when he came to Vrindavan, he came as a baby and never went to Mathura after that. 11 years and now he's leaving for Mathura first time. And therefore tourism. Incredible. Krishna wants to explore the city of Mathura to see the sights of Mathura. Sometimes people get so carried away by this whole thing of tourism. My God, one family, the wife said to the husband, you know, we have a 4 weeks break now. We should go on a 4 weeks vacation on tourism. Our first week we'll go to America. Okay. Then the son said, oh, Mama, America is fine, but we should also go to Australia. Okay, no problem. And then the daughter said, Mama, you're saying America, brother is saying Australia, but I'm saying we should also go to New Zealand. The father was quiet. Fourth week was left for the father. The mother decided America, the son decided Australia, the daughter decided New Zealand, the house was quiet. So all three of them asked the father, I mean the man, so fourth week is for you to decide. We have decided 3 weeks of our vacation, where will we go to the fourth week? The man said, we will go outside one of the temples in India. And all four of us will sit. I said, why for a vacation outside the temple of India? I said, whatever we have spent in the 3 weeks, we will sit with bowls in front of the temple and collect the money that we have spent in the 3 weeks of vacation that you are asking me to go to all of these places. God, tourism is such a big thing. When I travel, I see all the Indian people coming and all over the place wanting to explore the cities that they come to. Krishna and Balaram with the boyfriends entered into the city of Mathura, having a great time. Having great fun. All of them were walking on the street and having great fun. And suddenly, as they were laughing, joking, walking around, Krishna saw something across the street. Vilokya. This verse describes Vilokya kubjam yuvatim varananam. As they were all walking on the street and laughing and having a great time, Vilokya means to see. Mathura was a busy place. There were a lot of people walking here and there, a lot of noise, a lot of thoroughfare. It was an extremely busy place. Hundreds and thousands of people moving on the streets. And across the road on the other street, Krishna spotted out this one lady. And Shukadeva Goswami describes three adjectives for this lady. First, yuvatim. She was yuvati. Extremely young. But that's how young lads are. Young lads go around in a city, walking around, spot out, look out for such nice young partners to move around with. Here is Krishna along with all his boyfriends, spotting this girl across the street. Vilokya, he saw. Yuvatim. Extremely young girl. Not only young, Varananam. Varananam means she had a very attractive face. Young, attractive face. What could be a better combination? She's a young girl with a very beautiful, charming face. But there was a problem. The third adjective reveals the problem. In this verse, three adjectives are spoken for this personality whom Krishna spotted. Yuvatim, young, Varananam, beautiful faced, and the third adjective used is Kubjam. Kubja was not her name. We know her as Kubja. That was not her name. She is also known as Trivakra, but that also was not her name. She was such an insignificant person, no one knew what her name was. No one in the whole city of Mathura knew what the name of this girl was. She was a servant to the King Kamsa, and what was she doing? She was carrying in her hand a tray of vilepanam, of ointments, all kinds of ointments, sandalwood pastes, all varieties of colors and ointments meant to decorate one's body, all paraphernalia for makeup and decoration, all meant for Kamsa. the king. She was a maid servant in the palace of Kamsa. No one knew what her name was. Absolutely no one. She was called by two names. Trivakra and Kubja. Trivakra. Vakra means crooked. Trivakra means crooked at three places. Which means some at the neck, at some place. Three places, crooked. Crookedness, we will talk about that tomorrow. Crookedness in dealings, when we see how Krishna deals with Kubja, Trivakra. She was crooked in three places. And crookedness just happens to be one of the key features of conditioned consciousness. Conditioned consciousness means crookedness. You know, Kubja is called Trivakra because she was bent at three places. And why was she called Kubja? Kubja means hunchbacked. She had a hunchback. Any of you ever seen a hunchbacked lady or a man? You know, young, beautiful, but crooked in three places, bent in three places, and hunchbacked. Now that's not at all beautiful. Even if one has a very attractive face, balanced figure is what is beautiful. She was not at all appealing. Krishna spotted her out. As this hunchback lady bending down, bent in three places, carrying this tray of ointments, sandalwood pastes, colored pastes for Kamsa, walking on the streets, in the middle of all fun and frolic, as Krishna was having a great time with his boyfriends, he saw this lady and Krishna crossed the road in the hustle bus. There were thousands of people. God knows why he spotted her. We will hear why he spotted her. There were thousands of people on the streets of Mathura and Krishna spotted her. Crossed the street to come only to her. And started speaking to her. I think, isn't that the life of a devotee? Out of so many thousands of people, why us? Why has Krishna spotted me? Why has Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spotted me? Why has Srila Prabhupada chosen me? Why have the devotees chosen to come to me and give me a book? There are thousands of people walking on the streets of London. Why does a book distributor cross the road all the way to go to that one man or lady who spots him or her out to give him or her that book? Why? There are thousands. Thousands in the city of London. Just like in the city of Mathura. Thousands of people were walking in and around. Why did Krishna go to that one lady, spotted her out and go to that one lady? Incredible question to answer. My God. Quite a story. And it'll get better and better as we move on. Quite an interesting story. Just spans about few verses in this chapter. We'll get better because our acharyas have given elaborate commentaries on these verses. You know. We were all cases of compassion. Why? Why? Compassion doesn't ask why. When there is compassion, you never ask why. Sometimes a beggar is sitting on the street and you find, why? Why give him? Is there no reason? I just feel compassion to give him. Srila Prabhupada was like that. Extremely compassionate. There was a lady from Manchester. One girl from Manchester. Who came to the Bari Place temple, 7 Bari Place, in the early 70s. She was a very nice girl. She came to Srila Prabhupada. And got so attracted by Srila Prabhupada, she decided to give her life to Prabhupada. Got initiated from Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada gave her the name Ashtasakhi Devi. And Ashtasakhi Devi was very good at cooking. She had taken charge of the kitchen and she was cooking for the devotees. And one day, Srila Prabhupada called Ashtasakhi Devi to her room. And when she reached there, Srila Prabhupada said, so, we are having a very nice program. My first book review program. And Prabhupada was so excited, so absolutely excited that his first book review, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, would now be reviewed by the Times. It would be reviewed by Macmillan. All dignitaries would be coming. And Srila Prabhupada said the venue for this program is a hotel near the Marble Arch on Oxford Street. Some of you have been to the Marble, close to the Marble Arch during the Harinams. Prabhupada said that is going to be the venue. And so Ashtasakhi, I want you to cook for this program. And Ashtasakhi Devi turned to Srila Prabhupada and said, what shall we make, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, puris and sabji, rice, dal. And she was thinking, Times, Macmillan. I mean, what would they appreciate? All British people, how would they appreciate? And Prabhupada said, puris, sabjis, rice, dal. And then Prabhupada paused and said, and gulabs. Gulab jamuns. So when she heard that, she said, Prabhupada, the rest is all fine. But I think we should have cakes or cookies. Because how will I transport gulabs with the syrup to that hotel near the Marble Arch? Prabhupada said, you don't worry. It will happen. You just cook. Prabhupada would do the program, but her anxiety was, how would I take all of this stuff to the Marble Arch, you know, to that hotel? And then the day arrived, she had cooked everything and they packed it all up and they called the taxi driver. Now believe me, in India if you do this, it's fine. Not in London. Not in the 1970s, definitely. Today I don't know. But not in the 70s. So all this packed prasadam, rice and sabjis, all hot. They put it in the cab and the cab, the windows were all closed. So the guy didn't know what they were putting. He just thought they were putting pots. The taxi driver, British man. And suddenly the whole taxi started steaming up. All the windows were covered with steam. So the taxi driver turned to Ashtasakhi Devi and said, what is this? He said, don't worry, you drive. You keep driving. And as they reached the place, all the gulab jamun syrup had spilled all over the cab floor. And the taxi driver was so upset. Somehow they pacified them and they brought all the prasadam on the top floor. Guests hadn't arrived yet and Prabhupada said he wants to take prasadam before the program. And Pradyumna Prabhu, the servant, had forgotten his plates. So they served Prabhupada in a plastic plate with a plastic bowl, one gulab jamun in there. And Prabhupada finished the first gulab jamun. And Pradyumna Prabhu came running to Ashtasakhi Devi. He wants a second. So got the second, Prabhupada finished. He wants a third. So now Ashtasakhi Devi got a doubt. Who is eating, servant or master? You know, sir, master doesn't eat that much. So suddenly he's asking for a third. Looks like Pradyumna Prabhu is eating in the middle. So she said, something's wrong there. So then she again he came. Fourth, fifth, sixth. Prabhupada ate that day seven gulab jamuns before the program. Very unlikely of him. And then Prabhupada sent Pradyumna Prabhu for the eighth. Now when the eighth arrived, Ashtasakhi Devi definitely had doubts because she was in the kitchen, in the area where the prasadam was. So she came looking, who's eating? She came and saw seven empty bowls right next to Prabhupada. And the eighth one, Srila Prabhupada took a bite and left half in there. And both Ashtasakhi Devi and Leela Shakti Devi were ecstatic. We will get the remnants now. And Prabhupada told Pradyumna, so I have left this half gulab jamun. Please carry it to Bari place. When I reach, I will finish it. When I reach Bari place temple, I'll finish half the pending gulab jamun. And anyways, the program went great. Great. And then in the evening, after the program was over, Srila Prabhupada boarded a cab. Ashtasakhi Devi, Pradyumna Prabhu, Leela Shakti Devi, Kausalya Devi and Madhavanand Prabhu. Five of them at the back, Prabhupada in the front. And as they started driving, Prabhupada started crying. It was a hot sunny day of England, 24, 25 degrees Celsius. Prabhupada started crying and weeping. The devotees didn't know what happened. Everyone was bewildered. They asked Srila Prabhupada, what happened, Srila Prabhupada? Not a word spoken. He kept crying, you know. And then when Prabhupada reached Bari place, he went up to his room. No one had the guts. He was just crying. Still he was crying even as he was walking up to his room. And after a while, the devotees came together, started discussing, probably we made a big blunder. Probably there was something wrong with the prasadam. We didn't organize things. There's something seriously wrong that Prabhupada is very upset with. We must go and ask him. So all the devotees came together, five, six of them, to Prabhupada's room, and Pradyumna Prabhu was outside. They said to Pradyumna Prabhu, we want to see Srila Prabhupada. So why? So we don't know, because he's so upset, he was crying. We don't know why he was crying. And then they went into Prabhupada's room and they asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, did we make a blunder? Did anything go wrong? Was it a mistake on our part that he was so upset that you were crying? Prabhupada said, no. The program was fantastic. The gulab jamuns were great. Everything was wonderful. Nothing went wrong. Prabhupada, why were you crying? And then Prabhupada said, didn't you see? Again he repeated, didn't you see? And the devotees, didn't we see what? Srila Prabhupada said, while we were driving on Oxford Street, didn't you see all these British people walking in the hot summer day, thinking that they are happy? Thinking that they are happy, didn't you see? He said, they think that they are happy, but because of lack of Krishna, they are suffering. And while saying this, again he started crying. And Ashtasakhi Devi, she was saying, has any of us ever cried for a stranger? Has any of us sitting here in this room ever cried for a stranger? A stranger who's dressed in designer clothes, walking on a hot sunny day, thinking that they're having a great time? When I see someone walking on Oxford Street, dressed up meticulously, having a great time apparently, I feel, God, I should have been in his position. That's my disposition. That I think I should have been in his position. You know? Who can cry for a stranger? And therefore, what brought Krishna to go to Kubja, Trivakra? Compassion of his heart. What brings a great devotee? What brings Srila Prabhupada? What brings a Buddhist book distributor? What brings the preacher to go to someone, approach that person and give a book, give Krishna to that person? It is nothing but compassion, you know. Srila Prabhupada was sitting one day and one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, did they go to the moon? Srila Prabhupada said, I don't think so, they went to the moon. But even if they have gone, no problem, we'll go and distribute books there. Prabhupada said that, I don't think they have gone to the moon, but even if they have gone to the moon, we will go and distribute books there. One lady in California, follower of Srila Prabhupada, so much was her compassion, that not only was she doing books, but she had a dog. Her favorite dog, pet dog, devotee. She had a dog. She carried her dog for book distribution. And you know what she did? This is a real story. She put a bag in the dog's neck, and put a box of books right next to the dog. And on the box she wrote $10 for a book. That's all, just the price she put there. And left the dog. And the dog would go to people, bark at the people. Bark at the people and drive people to where he wanted. To the box. And then pull the trouser or the whatever dress the lady or the man was wearing. And point to the book. Did you know that one day this dog, the dog's book score was 70 Mahabik books? No, I'm not joking. This is a real story. No joke, huh? This is not a joke. This is a real story. A devotee lady in California did this and the dog's book score was 70 Mahabooks. And imagine how much the dog pleased God. Prabhupada says in his D.O.G. dog and G.O.D. God. You can imagine how much even the dog got an opportunity to please God. Thus, Kubja, while she was walking on the street there with that tray, Krishna came across to Kubja and spotted her out of all of these thousands of people because of his compassion. The second thing that the acharyas say about Krishna spotting out, the acharyas explain that Kubja, her face was extremely beautiful. So from a distance, you could only see her face. You couldn't see her complete form. That she was hunchbacked. She was curved and crooked at three places. You could only see the face. And Krishna left all of his friends, crossed the street, just being attracted by her face. And therefore the acharyas explain, for Krishna it is a pastime, but for a practitioner devotee, the acharyas explain, the beautiful face of Kubja represents Maya. And one is in the association of all friends, devotees, in the association, having a great time, but being attracted by that attractive face, one crosses the street, leaving behind the friends, and goes to approach Kubja. Just like Krishna left his friends behind to go and approach Kubja, similarly a devotee will leave the wonderful association of devotees being tempted by the appealing face of Maya. And what face Maya takes, God knows. And when one goes there, God, it is so attractive. And when reality dawns, then one realizes it's distorted. She has a hunchback. She's crooked in three places. And therefore our acharyas have explained, Kubja, the attractive face of Kubja, represents Maya or the material energy. And what is Maya is so different for different people. So different. One of our brahmacharis, he's from a South Indian family. You know, he's from a South Indian family. For him, he's never engaged in any nasty things in his life. And somehow, he has nothing called as a nasty thought in his mind. Such a pure person, my God. You can, when you are in his company, just around him you will feel it. It doesn't take much to understand. Just around in his company, immediately one will start to sense that purity. You know, extremely pure. And one day he was telling, in a company where we were all sitting, and he's saying, I am too fallen. Prabhu, I am too fallen. So I started getting an inferiority complex, you know. He started giving me a complex. He's saying, he's fallen. What is my condition? I say, I am too fallen, Prabhu. I am just very fallen. I am having trouble in my consciousness. My consciousness is disturbed. So we asked him, what is the disturbance in your consciousness? He said, the disturbance in my consciousness is all these Vedic mantras that are troubling my mind. Before I came to the Krishna consciousness movement in my South Indian family, they taught me all these Vedic mantras. Now I'm so disturbed because my mind is not focusing on the Hare Krishna mantra. I'm chanting Hare Krishna in my on my lips, and in my mind the prayers that are coming is Om Sahasra Shircha Purusha Sahasra Kya Sahasra Pate Sabhumim Vishvato Vritva Atyatishtadasha Angulam Purusha Evedagum Sarvam. I said, wish I had a disturbance like you. When I chant Hare Krishna, the disturbance is in my mind. Prabhu, I don't think you should even listen. You are so pure. I don't want to impollute your mind I don't want to download the trash of your mind to you. What is Maya? It's so different for different people. What is Maya? Something that is appealing, attractive, and so attractive to our minds and then distracts us from Krishna. It could even be a Vedic mantra. Very sattvic Maya. It is Maya. Sattva Guna is also Maya. Lord Krishna doesn't say only Tamo Guna or Raja Guna is Maya. Daivi, Hesha, Gunamai, Mama Maya, Duratya. All three modes are Maya. What is Maya is so different for different people and gets so carried away. There have been devotees in our movement who have fallen away from the path of Krishna consciousness because of the Maya of science and technology. Science and technology. And here in England, His Grace Purushottam Prabhu left Srila Prabhupada because Prabhupada said that man has not landed on the moon. Distracted. That side seemed very attractive. Left Krishna consciousness and went there. There have been devotees in our movement who have left Krishna consciousness by the maya of searching for something higher than what Prabhupada has given us. What Prabhupada has given to us in his purports and in the society, something higher, some rasika tattva, some special rasas. Prabhupada is only saying, so you are not the body. You know, and I know I am not the body. Last 20 years I am hearing I am not the body. I want to read Jaidev Goswami, Gita Govinda. You know, I want to read, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava. I want to read all of these rasika shastras, you know. Another way of Maya. Distracting. Kubja space, you know. So attractive. Left the friends. Crossed the street to go to Kubja. Left the devotees. Crossed the boundaries of the Hare Krishna movement. And went out because of science. Went out because of rasika tattvas. Went out because of being disgruntled. There's always differences. There's always troubles. When people live together, there'll always be things. Friction is always there. In a car, when there are gears, there will always be friction.
car moves ahead because the gears are all there. All these wheels are moving together, all these teeth intertwined with each other. That's what's making the machine move properly. But as these parts are there, working together to make the car move, there will be friction. Just like this car of ISKCON. It moves together. Of course, Prabhupada is the main driver, the prime mover. And then all the devotees playing their respective roles like these wheels, intertwined. Everyone playing their respective roles, small and big gears, to make the car move properly. But as these wheels come in contact with each other, there is always friction. Always friction. And the lubricant, there's a lubricant that's needed to keep that friction away. The lubricant is love and trust. If that lubricant is not there, devotees have left Maya. Another form of Maya. You know? Another form of Maya. And of course, and then the lowest form of Maya is just the conditionings. You know, all the conditionings, lust and greed and sense gratification, all that. It's just one form of Maya. My God. You know? And therefore, another lesson that the story teaches, as Krishna crosses the street to go to Kubja, if the face looks attractive, and at face value, it is all incredibly attractive. As one goes closer, one starts realizing, what have I left behind to come here? Because then the hunchback is seen, and the crookedness is seen. The crookedness of people around who are so selfish. The hunchback of people around who are all just having their own agenda, their own purposes in life, is seen. And then we realize a little friction back there was actually all right. Not all that bad after all. Recently, while I was in Guyana, in Georgetown, I was telling a story which I've told here, but in this context, it's one of the stories that has inspired me a lot, you know. In Chicago, the winters go up to minus 30 degrees, 32 degrees sometimes. 30, 32 below zero. It's quite frigid and cold. And when the winds over the Lake Michigan blow, God, it adds to the chill factor even further. Because of very strong winds. In this city, Chicago, one winter when it was minus 32, there were these porcupines. 7-8 porcupines in the forest. So cold. The porcupines realized if we have to survive, we have to just be together. So they all came together for the warmth, and they were definitely very warm. But the problem was their pokey spikes. As they were together, one of the porcupines, the pokey spikes was hurting the other. And that porcupine started shouting, what the hell you think of yourself, you don't get the warmth, look at this, your pokey stuff is poking me. And then the other porcupine said, you shut up, look at what's happening to me, look at your spike, even that's hurting me. And each one, as they were together, their spikes were hurting each other. Because they're porcupines at the end of the day. Finally, they decided it's just getting too much. Just too much. We just have to part. We can't handle this being poked by all these spikes. So they parted. And when they parted, they realized, minus 32 degrees Celsius, we will turn into an ice cream here. For a wolf to come and have the nice ice cream and scoop us up, you know. So they realized, we have only two choices. Either become ice creams and die in the minus 32 degrees cold, or be together and handle a little bit of the pokey stuff. That exactly is what the association of devotees is, isn't it? When we are together, some pokey things will poke each other. What to do? I don't like the way, it's alright, man, I don't like the way you do this. It's fine. It's just fine. One guy comes up to me and says, why do you have a tilak which is like a highway? I said, any problem? Any problem? He said, your tilak is like a highway going all the way from the nose till the shikha. I said, God, what's your problem? You know? And in Guyana, these two little girls, just two tiny girls, they asked a question to the father to ask me. So the father brought the girls, ask Prabhuji the question. So they said, no, Papa, no, not us, you ask. I said, you wanted to ask, right? You ask. So the two girls are asking, why is your shikha so small? I have a very tiny shikha for official reasons. There are certain reasons. If you want to, I'll tell you after the class is over. You know, why is your shikha so small? Someone's bothered by my small shikha. Someone's bothered by my highway tilak. Someone's bothered by my class. What can I do? My service, I'm doing my service. Someone's bothered by my class. Someone's bothered by my singing. Someone's bothered by my personality. What do I do? If someone's bothered by my personality, I am also bothered by aspects of others. Anyone here who's not bothered by other devotees? Any rare species? I shouldn't say rare species, any extinct species who is not bothered by other devotees. Oh my God. We are all bothered. There will, personalities are different, there will be some friction. It's a big deal. What choice do we have? Handle a little bit here and there, or minus 32 degrees Celsius cold frigid winters of Maya. And she is cold. She seems very appealing, but later, I don't want to use words which are not pleasant. She seems very pleasing and appealing, but later we get the hunchback and three vakra, the three crooked parts of her body, and realize, God, she is distorted. She is seriously distorted. You know, I left the association behind to cross the street and come across thinking she's very attractive. And look what I have come across, to come and only realize that, my God, she's completely distorted. One lady came up to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was sitting in the temple. And devotee lady comes up to Prabhupada and says, Prabhupada, I have a problem. Prabhupada said, what happened? Prabhupada, I think there is too much Maya in the temple. She's saying this too much. If you don't know what that means, you can come to our, of course you know what it means in Bhaktivedanta manner. If you come to our temple in Chopati on a Sunday evening, our temple in Chopati, Sunday evening, sees the most affluent big people of Mumbai coming in for the darshans. And they come up dressed up as if it's a fashion show. I mean, it's not that they do it deliberately. They're just how they are. They dress, this is just how life is for them. It seems like a ramp walk, you know. They come to the temple and some of our brahmacharis, you know, they're saying, Prabhu, this is a danger place. Don't go here. You know, you will be too tempted. And I tell the brahmacharis, man, we thought Maya was outside the temple. So this lady comes to Prabhupada and says, Prabhupada, there's too much Maya inside the temple. So then Prabhupada was, you know, very candid. Prabhupada looked at her and said, really? There's too much Maya inside here. Okay. Is there any place in the world where there is no Maya? So tell me and we will both go together and live there. She's saying there's too much Maya inside the temple. So Prabhupada was so surprised that she's even bringing this point up. Prabhupada said, so is there any place where there is no Maya? We will both go and live there. Maya is not outside. Maya is inside. For those who are careful not to get attracted by that face of Kubja, they will never have to face the distorted three hunches and the distorted three bends of Kubja. You know, Maya is inside. We all have heard the story of Silhana Mishra, the man who was, on the day of his father's death, left behind his father's body in the night, which was meant to be cremated. And the uncle was running after Silhana. Silhana, not today. Please, not today, Silhana. Today is the day of your father's death. Finish the father's cremation at least. Silhana said, nothing doing. I have to go to her. He said, what will people say? You're a Brahmana. Silhana had nothing to do. He jumped across. The river was flooding. It was raining. He hung on to a log of wood, came across to the two-storied building and hung on to the rope and entered into the house of Chintamani, the prostitute. And when Silhana came into the prostitute's house, Chintamani said, how could you come today? Even that prostitute said, I have that culture that your father is dead, not at least today. He said, Chintamani, I love you so much. My father, my mother, who cares for all of these people? I just want you. He said, by the way, the river was flooding. No ferryman would bring you across. How did you come? He said, I just hung on to a log of wood. And I just held a rope to come up to your room. And when Chintamani saw outside, it wasn't a log of wood. It was a corpse. Dead corpse which he had hung on to and swam across. And it wasn't a rope, it was a snake. Chintamani was disgusted. She looked at Silhana and said, Silhana, I am disgusted with you. You are a useless wretch. Just get out of this place and never ever again show your wretched face to me. That you don't even do the final rites of your father and come to me. Just get out of this place. And then she said, if you had the same obsession that you have for me, for Krishna, you would have gone back to Krishna by now. Silana left, these words ringing in his ears. He was rejected by the family, by his beloved prostitute, and gone. Traveled around like a mendicant saint, forgot everything practically, came to a village, to the house of a brahmana, for bhiksha, begging. And as he came to the house of a brahmana, he saw the wife of the brahmana was extremely beautiful. Suddenly, again his eyes, my God, the brahmana invited him in home. And as the brahmana invited him inside, the brahmana washed his feet, worshipped him, saintly soul, sadhu maharaj, maharaji, babaji. Look at what babaji was doing, eyeing the lady. And then the brahmana said, we can offer you anything. We want to serve you and please you. What do you want? Silana said, only one thing. You have to promise me first. Will you give it to me? Promise that you will. Brahmana said, what is it that we won't do? You're Brahman Devta. Devta. What Devta? Promised. I promise whatever you ask, I'll give you. And Silana said, I just want your wife for today. Want to be with her. The Brahmana said, say it again. Said, I just want to enjoy with your wife. The Brahmana was shocked. But he said, I've promised. I must fulfill my promise. So he went and told his wife. He said, are you crazy? Are you crazy? You're asking me to do this thing? I'm a chaste wife to you. You're asking me to do this? He said, I'm promised, you have to do it. And that lady came in a secluded place to Silana. And when that lady came, my God, suddenly the ears of Chintamani the prostitute started ringing in his ears. If only you would have the same obsession as you had for me, for Krishna, you would receive Krishna. He fell at the feet of this lady, begged forgiveness and apologized. Said, I'm sorry. Said, I want something from you. I just want a charity. Give me your hairpins. She pulled out her hairpin. She didn't know what he was doing with the hairpin. She pulled out the hairpins and gave it to Silana. Silana took those two hairpins and plucked his eyes with those two hairpins. These eyes are the cause of all trouble. These eyes are the cause of all problem that I'm attracted to this material energy, and plucked out the eyes and became blind. Are eyes the source of trouble? No. Otherwise all of us should take hairpins and pluck our eyes. And it's just, it doesn't mean just a woman or a man. Anything material that completely attracts and infatuates us. It could be a thing, it could be a position, it could be the opposite sex. It could be anything in this world that infatuates us. We'll probably have to all be blind. No, that is not the solution. Maya is not outside. Maya is inside. It is not the eyes. It is the pollution behind the eyes which needs to be purified. And therefore Krishna consciousness doesn't recommend pulling eyes out. Otherwise, you would be in International Society for Blindness Consciousness. Not Krishna Consciousness, you know. ISBLON or something, you know. It won't be ISKCON. So we definitely are not into all that stuff. Krishna Consciousness recommends the purification of our consciousness. To be Krishna Consciousness. To change the enjoyment attitude. Eyes are nothing. Dead man, what did the eye do? Nothing. Ears, what did they do? Nothing. And therefore, then Silana Mishra, of course, rectified himself and achieved Krishna at the end of his life. And thus, when Krishna crossed the street to meet Krubja, Vilokya, he saw Kubjam, Yuvatim, Varananam. She was young, she had a charming, beautiful face, but she was hunchbacked and also called Trivakra. And therefore, what we have learned from the story so far today, and we will conclude tomorrow with all the lessons from the story, as Krishna now starts talking to Kubja, but what we have learned today is we are all on two missions. One mission is the outside mission, another mission is the
internal mission. Like Krishna, leaving Vrindavan to take a life of responsible mission now. Enjoyment and fun is all good. But now there has to be, you know, missionary activity. So our mission is to assist Srila Prabhupada, to bring Krishna to the lives of others and deal with the unwanted tendencies within. But we discussed, too much introspection or being happy-go-lucky. Both are extremes. We have to be happy and serious, and Krishna reveals this in this episode. The second point we heard from the story today was, out of so many thousands, one was spotted, Kubja. Why that one? That is compassion. The compassion of Krishna, the compassion of the great souls, the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, that out of so many, that devotee came to us. Prabhupada's grace came to us. Mahaprabhu's grace came to us. And therefore when Srila Prabhupada asked, what was our qualification that we came to Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. I made your qualification. And the third thing we heard was, how when Krishna goes to her, he leaves his friends behind, seeing the charming face. From a distance he couldn't see the whole form. Then when he comes close, he sees the hunchback and the three bends. And our acharyas explained that is exactly how the material energy is. The face looks very charming. When we cross the street and go close, then we realize there are other implications involved with the material energy. At the end of it all, like Prabhupada said, is there any place where there is no Maya? No. Everywhere, including the temple hall, can be Maya. Which basically means we have to deal with the Maya inside. The eyes, the ears have nothing wrong there. They're just flesh. It is the consciousness. And therefore, purification of consciousness is a crucial aspect in terms of dealing with the material energy. And tomorrow we shall continue with our discussion on the story of Kubja as Krishna now decides to talk to her and Kubja takes a step and Krishna straightens her up, and we will discuss tomorrow how crookedness is straightened up by Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.